Imagine your sleepy, historic hometown suddenly gets discovered by city folks looking for a weekend escape.
Right, yeah. The classic gentrification story.
Exactly. I mean, home prices spike like 24% in a single quarter. Usually that's a death sentence for a town's soul.
Yeah.
It's like installing a flashy new interface on a really old computer. It's great on the surface, but underneath, the system is crashing.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time before it breaks entirely.
Right. But today, we're doing a deep dive into an editorial from The Edit about Kingston, New York. Kingston looked at that massive wave of gentrification and did something unthinkable. They decided to rewrite their entire operating system to control it.
And, you know, to understand why they needed that massive system upgrade so badly, you first have to look at the hardware. Because Kingston isn't just one cute main street, it's essentially three distinct cities that just happen to share a zip code.
The Three Kingstons, I've heard people call it that.
Yeah, exactly. So up top, you have the Stockade District. This is, I mean, it's 8 blocks of pre-revolutionary Dutch stone.
Wow, that old.
Oh, yeah. If you stand at the intersection of John and Crown Streets, all four corners have an 18th century house. That configuration literally does not exist anywhere else in America.
That's wild. Okay, so that's one.
Right. Then you drop into Midtown, which is this industrial mural-covered artist studio district, totally different feel. And finally, there's the Rondout. That's the steep waterfront neighborhood. Actually, the bluestone that built half of 19th century Manhattan was once loaded onto ships right there.
Okay, so three totally different physical spaces, three totally different vibes, which kept things pretty fragmented and, quiet for
Yeah,
decades.
until June 2019.
Right, until June 2019. That's when Hotel Kinsley opens across four historic buildings in the Stockade. We're talking high-end, nationally pressed design, check-in desks inside original bank vaults, that sort of thing. Suddenly, the area's legibility completely changed for Brooklyn buyers.
It did, and the market reacted violently. I mean, by the fourth quarter of 2020, Kingston home prices had spiked that incredible 24.2% in a single quarter.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because usually, this is the part of the story where a town just gets priced out of its own existence.
Just hollows out.
Exactly. You either get a Hudson, which has a moment that eventually thins out into like hollow weekend tourism, or you get a Rhinebeck, which just quietly stays the exact same for 150 years. I don't get how Kingston avoided that trap when the pressure was so intense.
Well, they didn't just wait for design and wealth to happen to them. They went in and aggressively rewrote the city's source code.
The legal stuff.
Yeah. There's a frankly unsexy 3-year legal spine to this story that almost no editorial coverage has put together. Instead of fighting the new arrivals, they built a 3-part legislative safety net.
Okay, walk me through how you actually rewrite a city's source code. What's the very first move?
So step one was stopping the immediate bleeding. In August 2022, Kingston became the first upstate New York City to opt into the Emergency Tenant Protection Act.
Oh, wow. So that basically locked in rent stabilization for roughly, what, 1,200 units overnight?
Right, cap the rent so the locals don't get immediately evicted. But, you know, rent caps don't build new homes for all these new buyers.
Exactly. Without new housing, prices would just keep squeezing upward anyway.
Which is why step two in August 2023 was the City Council unanimously passing Kingston forward. They essentially tossed out their old rule book and adopted a form-based zoning code.
Wait, let's pause there. Form-based zoning.
Yep.
For those of us who aren't urban planners, that basically means focusing on what a building physically looks like and how it fits into the neighborhood
Yeah.
rather than strictly policing what it's used for, right?
You got it perfectly. The old bugs in their operating system made it illegal to build anything except traditional single-family homes. This new code legalized missing middle housing.
Like duplexes and stuff.
Yeah, and they made it perfectly legal to build accessory dwelling units like apartments over garages and residential corner stores. They explicitly programmed new pathways for density.
So they're basically saying, yes, build more, but build it our way so it fits the historic vibe.
Right. And then they locked it in with step three in July 2024. The mayor signed good cause eviction into law.
Okay, and just to be clear for the listener, regardless of where anyone stands politically on the merits of rent control or eviction laws, the mechanics here are undeniable. They explicitly encoded their civic identity and housing protections directly into the law.
Exactly. They didn't take a stance on whether gentrification is purely good or bad. They just managed it.
So, what does this all mean? It means the design-first version of the city we see today is exactly what the legal framework expects to happen. The historic stone houses aren't preserved like a museum. They are lived in, surrounded by wine bars, bakeries, and design shops.
It's really alive.
It is. Just speaking as an editor here, you need to experience it for yourself. Take a morning to walk the stockade, grab lunch at Rosie General down on the Rondout, have dinner at Clio, and stay at Hotel Kinsley. It's an incredibly vibrant city.
It really is. But as you walk around, I want you to consider the bigger picture. Design and hospitality can change how a place looks overnight, but the law dictates its actual future. Look at your own hometown. Do your local zoning and tenant rules actually permit the city you want to become? Or are you just waiting for gentrification to happen to you?